Hi everyone, good morning.
Morning.
Morning. Morning, Frank.
Morning, Scott.
Hi.
Morning, Frank.
Good morning, good to see you guys. This is the first week that I'm doing Sunday school live, so from the Sunday school room. So
this wow. Kind of,
wow, this is kind of cool. Yeah.
You blurred your background, Frank, huh?
I did.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So you can see you can focus on the front, the class over here, rather than my background. Oh, is that how it is? All right. Okay. Did you guys all have a good weekend so far? Yes. I'm adjusting to speaking to people live and virtual. It's different. Good to see you, Alva. I love to see you dance. we're still talking about it in our house. Like, dude, Jackson is like, he's just like looks at Alva.
I know.
Oh, he's a good dancer. Yeah, I took a video of it when they were on stage, and then he watches it almost every day.
Oh, so they don't listen to that Baby Shark now? They watch Alva.
That they watch Alva now. No more Baby Shark. They watch Alva. Yeah. Press play. Anyways, that was fun. Okay. Let's start today with a word of prayer and prepare our hearts this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for bringing a lot of us back in person and still giving us the option of joining virtually, or you're expanding your kingdom through different channels and avenues, and we're just stepping into a new season, and we thank you for this new season, even though there's a lot of changes, but help us to be in step with you in the work of your Holy Spirit. Lord, prepare our hearts and minds for this morning as you reveal to us the truths in your word, and that we may listen in, that we may see, and we may understand, and we may be convicted by your word. In your name we pray.
Amen.
All right. Okay, treasures in heaven. This is a good one.
Can you reshare
my screen?
Yeah, because your screen is there.
Okay.
It looks like a sliver. Or I can do it. I can share the slides.
Okay.
No, look at the back screen.
Back screen
where?
Yeah. Oh, there.
Two different things.
Oh, okay.
I think you should just use
Let
one.
Me take that down. How do I take that down?
Stop. Say stop share.
Stop share.
Yeah.
Up there? Okay. No, that's you, right?
There you
okay.
Go.
All right. Thanks. So I'm good, right?
But if you click.
Okay. You see this?
No.
Class?
No, I'll do it.
You do it? Okay. Yeah.
Not?
Oh, I see it here.
I know.
That's your second monitor.
Huh? That's your second monitor. Yes.
I'm going to link it to you real quick.
Okay.
If I share this room,
you won't show it. Oh, got it.
All right. You guys take care of that. I'm just sharing this screen. Okay. That's my screen. Okay, for the class, you guys need to take care of that. All right. there's always a little bit of hiccups when we try to do this.
I see. Class, I can see.
Do
class,
not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, we know this verse very well. I think we hear it all the time. But today we're going to dive into this and see what does it mean ultimately, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Can you guys name some places where treasures are stored? Whatever is in your mind, whatever you think a treasure is, where do you, and again, we're not talking about pirates and stuff, because that's what I think about. Yeah, right. We're like, oh yeah, we store treasures in deep seas. No, we're actually just talking about treasures on earth, stuff that we have, whether you guys have, you know, money stored somewhere, or you have something that's very expensive. Where are these treasures stored?
In banks.
In banks. And what do you store there in banks?
Usually it can be jewelry or important documents in the safe deposit box.
Okay. Nice. What kind of jewelry?
Whatever's been handed down to you, maybe. Heirlooms are just valuable things.
Oh, valuable things.
Yeah.
All right. Just want to know. What bank? okay, yeah. Anything else? Where else do you store your treasures?
In the home you live in, Frank.
Yeah, and what treasures are there?
Your family.
Oh, yeah.
Your family. Bibles, the Bible, spiritual treasure, your family.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Maybe your expensive heirloom furniture that's been passed down. Mm-hmm. Right. Anything else? What do you store in your garage?
Your car.
Car.
Hobbies.
Alva, that's good. Huh? Safe. Okay. Yeah. Safe with those digital keypads. You know, you store it in there. No, when you go in the hotel, you know, there's always a safety deposit box over there. And I don't know if you guys ever put things in there. You guys ever put things? You never put things in there. They provide that there because it's not safe when you just leave your wallet or your computer in the hotel room, right? So you never know who's going to take it. So you put it in the safety deposit box. Okay, so those are some places where you put your treasures or your belongings, right? Anything else?
That, yeah. Recently, CJ received some Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan
basketball cards, and he knew it was in good condition, so he, you know, his uncle gave it to him with the plastic covering everything, and he knew that it could be very valuable, so he decided to hide it deep in a place where when we asked him, he couldn't find it. He hid it so good
that he can't find it, right?
And he spent a few days searching for where he had hid his treasure.
And how much does that cost?
His uncle said that it could be worth up to like $3,000 or something.
Ooh, Michael Jordan. Oh, yeah. Okay. Did you guys find it?
He found it in the bottom of his closet, the bottom of a crate,
mm-hmm.
where he put all this stuff on top of it so no one else will find it, but he can't find it.
And he wrapped it in tissue.
He wrapped it in tissue, like toilet paper.
Right.
Toilet paper and duct tape.
Yeah. Because.
Yeah, it's trash.
Yeah. It's worth a lot.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. That's why you would wrap it. You would take care of it. You would put it in a place where no one can find it. You store it into a place. Okay. Jesus says, do not lay up baseball cards on earth where moth and rust destroy, right? Where thieves break in and steal. I want to look at these two phrases or two words that that's highlighted in red. Do not. You know, it's actually absolute denial. Like, don't even. Do not. I know it sounds pretty straightforward, but the word is absolute denial. So we don't, does that mean that we're not supposed to have that at all? So absolute denial. Treasures, I thought it was just store up. Okay, do not lay up, right? Lay up is kind of a weird language, but store and amass and stockpile is a better understanding. Do not collect and stockpile it, right? That may be a better way of understanding this. And treasures. Now, I thought it was the treasure itself, the coins, the baseball cards, the money, the cash, the gold, the silver, the jewelry, right? But the word itself actually means the physical place where treasures are placed. So it's really saying that do not stockpile the safety deposit boxes. Do not stockpile the vaults or the boxes of stuff that you have. And also includes the stuff in there, in the boxes, but do not amass and stockpile all these boxes, all these things, right? Storehouses or your barns, whatever you keep your houses, stockpile more real estate. Those are good. I mean, but this is what the verse is saying, right? And we did this already, name some places, no. Do not stockpile storehouses and boxes on earth where moths and rust destroy. This is interesting. I didn't know this. Moth and rust is a symbol of fragility, right? The act of the moth eating through expensive garment. So the idea is, no matter how expensive your clothes are, when you have moths gathering, that's why you have mothballs, right? In those Chinese houses, because you don't want moths to eat away your clothes, to ruin the clothes, even though the t-shirt may be very expensive. It's the idea of, this is in the Jewish text, other writings, the idea of making your house and clothing, which is silly. You don't make your house and clothing because it easily gets ruined, right? Commonly tied to the riches that spoil. And, you know, when I thought about expensive clothing, I thought about this, right? You think your t-shirt's expensive? Nothing wrong with Fendi. It's great. You know, if you have a Fendi shirt, fine. But this is $630. What?
I can make that.
You can make that. I know. Yeah, you can make that.
A crayon.
Yeah, a crayon. But $600, that's a real deal expensive t-shirt. That's the idea. So expensive. So when you wear that, it's just you belong to royalty, right? You belong to the influencers, to the celebrities, whatever it is. I mean, it's $600. I can't imagine a $600 t-shirt, but it's sold because people buy it. But the idea here is do not lay up these things. Do not amass these cool things where moths can easily just destroy. I mean, you put that t-shirt there, the moth will eat it through. Just as much as a $5 t-shirt, right?
I think it's interesting that the moth, you know, I was thinking about this, and moth, you know, what causes the destroying of your treasures on earth, they're very small things.
Mm-hmm.
Like a moth you don't even know when the moth has, right? Like Bex and I are always wondering, how did the moth get into the room, into the drawer, right? I mean, that's where you put mothballs. You put them into drawers, right, or something. Or we have cedar balls. Because we rebelled.
Cedar against, blocks?
Yeah, or cedar balls.
Oh, even, balls.
Because
okay.
We just don't like a moth ball smell. And so, but you wonder how a tiny little insect got in there, right? To you know, destroy whole, you know, put holes into your garments. Or like, I think the process of rust, you know, you don't even know when rust begins to take place. It's like the smallest of elements that begin mm-hmm. to, you know, destroy. Like for me, like a nice knife that I had, it was actually the rust that got to that blade. I thought they're just like the smallest of things actually destroy things that have so much value to us.
Yeah, it could be there one day, and next morning the moth has eaten it. Right, that actually is what happens. So you know that reminds me of, you know, we're talking about money. You know, when we talk about treasure, the first thing we think about is money. True. But our treasures could be like our houses, our cars, right? Our talents could be, for some of us, like you got a great talent, that's your treasure. Your education, well, you graduated from Harvard, that's your treasure, that's your diploma, right? Your business, well, you own a business and it's growing, that's your treasure. Your ambitions or your memories, maybe you got a great memory, you know, you can calculate things, you can do everything in your mind. Your speed, you're fast, right? Physical speed, your bravery, your strength, even your humor. For some of us who are really funny and humorous, you know, that's your treasure, because you can light up a room when you just walk in, you're humorous, people love it. But if you think about it, all these treasures can change overnight. That's why, you know, when you see fires in Southern California and, you know, you see the reporter, you know, interviewing a man or a woman who's in front of the camera, and often you'll hear them say, just yesterday, I had this beautiful house. And today, there's nothing. I had nothing. I have my family, my dogs got out, but look at, and then, you know, the cameraman will pan to his house and it's literally just ashes overnight. Like we don't even, the fire just moved so fast. It was a whirlwind. We had to go out and it was just overnight. But yesterday you had it perfect. You had a big screen TV. You had your little office set up. You had a doghouse. Today, nothing. It just, the moth took over and it just ate it all away. So literally, whatever your treasure is, and let's hope it doesn't happen, but whatever you have, if you think as your treasure, you value it, literally overnight, it can be burned or it can be gone, right? Yeah, it's pretty crazy. For those of you guys who are younger, you're probably like, yeah, that's, you know, you're collecting your treasures right now, right? But as you get older, for example, you know, I'll use myself, like my treasure when I was younger was like, I love the hair that Alva and Nelton, Kevin has. Woo, yeah, it's full and thick. You know, I dyed it blonde too, just like you, right? And I was like, yeah, that's my treasure, you know? Yeah, that's cool. It's all good, I love it.
No, you just dyed your tips.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that. Yeah, it wasn't that fluffy, it was cool. But literally overnight, as I'm turning 40, like starts getting thinner. It's good. It starts losing, you know? Like that's my treasure. I have to part with it. It's gonna be different because you know, your body's changed and it's not going to be the same way. We are so fragile. And that's what this text, that's what Jesus is saying. Gosh, you know, he's not saying, I don't want you to possess these things. These are good things. I've given it to you. But do not put your heart there, because it can, you can lose it overnight. One day you have it, next morning, you don't know. Yeah, that's a good reminder to put things in perspective. And it says here that, you know, where rust can destroy, of course, where thieves break in and steal. Break in, steal, destroy, right? This reminds me of John 10:10. Who else comes to steal, kill, and destroy? It's literally, this is what Jesus is reminding us. The thief, we have an enemy that we do not see, right? He comes only to steal from us, to destroy us, to kill us. But Jesus says, I have come to give you life and to give it abundantly. That's not the end of the story, right? There's a better way. There's a better way. I just call it the better way. You want to do this one? Go ahead. Yeah.
We had a collab this week on this, Frank took like the lead on it. But this was a passage, you know, the first couple of verses were really powerful, because, you know, we've heard it before about your treasures, storing up your treasures. Frank, if we go back to this other one, two slides ago, right? You know, I think like lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I think we're going to talk about that, where moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal, and then where your treasure is, there your heart is. We're going to come back to that, but there's this concept, I guess I would back up again. You know, if you have your Bibles open, remember we just came off of fasting, and before that we came off of prayer, and then before that we came off of, do you guys remember? Like giving to the poor and needy. And Jesus was comparing this whole paradigm of how the people at that time, especially the religious leaders, started to treat their faith, their religion. And now he breaks off, and Jesus is now preaching on treasures, and he's making this comparison between laying up your treasures on earth versus laying up your treasures in heaven. Right, so if we go to then verse 22, can we have somebody read that for us?
The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, the whole body will be full of light. If your eye is bad, the whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? One can serve two masters, or either be
hate the one.
Or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God.
Right. And if you have your Bibles open, I think it's helpful, because all these things all flow together. It's like a flowing of thought. And I, you know, email Frank sometime in the middle of the week, I'm like, man, 22-24 is kind of tricky to figure out. And if you start reading, like even the scholars say it's kind of a highly debated hot topic in the Sermon on the Mount, like how you interpret that. But for me, I began with the thought that Jesus is already comparing two things. He's already comparing treasures in on earth versus treasures in heaven. And then now he's talking about a healthy eye versus a diseased eye, right? Or a damaged eye or a bad eye. An eye that cannot see well, right? Cannot focus well. And I looked up some of these words as you guys read about it, like just kind of read through this concept. The eye is the lamp of the body. So the eye is giving lamp or light to ourselves. The eye is associated with something of our body. The eye is bringing light in to our life, right? And so if our eye is good, then it brings our body to be full of light, right? I'm just reading. This is like what we talked about. We don't want to stay here, but like Bible study shouldn't be like your ability to read English, right? But it is saying your eye is healthy and your whole body, if your eye is good, your whole body is now full of light. It's fascinating because in the Jewish culture, there is a very close connection that's often written about between the heart and the eye, right? So the quality of our thought life, our thoughts, our emotions, our psychological well-being, our spiritual well-being, that's all the heart, right? In Jewish literature, the heart represents kind of the person. So the eye and the heart or the person have a lot in correlation.
Bless you.
This word healthy, when it says, if your eye is healthy, when I was digging in on that particular word, part of that definition includes single. Single as opposed to double or multiple. It's single, right? So the word is like duplicitous. That's actually this particular word, double. Single versus duplicitous or divided. An eye that is healthy is an eye that is single. What does that mean? Single versus a divided eye. Or
focused.
Okay, or focused, right? I was actually thinking about, let me see if I have another definition. Yeah, straight without turning aside. I was thinking about how when, even this morning, you know, what I just thought about right now, I was like enjoying this cup of free coffee that I got from the guy on Euclid, like iced coffees, like super good. And in driving here, at one point I saw a left-hand signal on Foothill show green. I saw the green and I started to look. I'm like, what kind of cup is he giving this into? And Beck's like, stop the car! Because I should have been looking at the road singular without turning aside, but my eye turned aside and got distracted by this little cup right here. Oh, you guys can't see it online. It's fascinating. It looks like I'm doing a magic trick. But actually, so here you can see it. magic. Right, so. Okay. So this is the cup that almost, Beck says you could have hit that car that was turning left. I was in a conversation with someone. Beck and I were with another couple at one of Bethany's like volleyball things, I guess. And then we were talking at this table, and this husband, while he initially was in our conversation, I saw his phone, he was sitting next to me, and he started scrolling through his Instagram, right? So, and I watched his eyes, and he's no longer focusing on us. His eyes were like shifting up and down, you know, like scrolling through his big old phone, Instagram, like looking at all the different posts. And I just felt, whoa, he turned his focus clearly off of us to look at his like social media, you know? Something about the eye being healthy, the eye being focused, what Peter said, the eye being singular, the eye, something here is talking about when our eyes are singularly focused on where our treasure should be. Our eyes on Jesus, our eyes on the things of heaven, the things of his kingdom. it brings light to our whole body. But if your eye is bad, the badness would mean that your eyes are shifty, right? Have you guys ever talked to people and then like, at one point they're looking at you and then they're not looking at you? You know, if you're a bad Sunday school teacher or if you're a bad preacher, I'll notice, or when I have my bad moments, because I've been there, I notice that people's eyes aren't even on me anymore. That's when I know I've lost the whole church. And I'm like, okay, I'm teaching, like I'm giving the history of this text and everyone's like, right? Or they start looking around the room, like they're not even on anymore. I think that's when you become divided, you're no longer listening right to the teacher. You're not having the conversation. Your eyes are shifting to other things. You can't focus. For me, I think there's an element of that. So you have treasures in heaven versus treasures on earth. An eye that is healthy on the things singular in our focus. I guess I would ask from a personal perspective, what are the things that divide your attention today from where your attention ought to be placed? What is stealing your focus? Even if we're talking about treasures, where are we turning our focus to make something? When Frank asked in the beginning, what was treasures? I didn't want to say anything yet, but for me, the word value comes to mind. Like, what is it that we value? Because when it says that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, right? That heart reflects like a value system. Like, what are we valuing? What is causing our treasure, what we value, to be on the things of this earth versus the things of God, right? Or God himself. And verse 24 says, obviously, no one can serve two masters. Your eyes can't keep looking at two people to serve, right? The attention of your life, your value, cannot keep like serving two. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will love one and hate the other. It's just what happens, right?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm gonna
cut it.
When you say that, cut it.
I mean, cut
I'm,
it.
I'm just it. Yeah. When you said that, I'm actually. It reminds me of maybe 10 years ago, or in the past 10, 15 years ago. When you're in the workplace, everyone was writing books about how great you can multitask, right? You see this if you're a good multitasker, you are successful because you can do 10 things at the same time and efficiently. And people are like, wow, how do you juggle, spit fire out of your mouth, and then take a phone call, right? And to change diapers. That was the model. But then in the past, even 5 years, you know, the update from psychologists, scientists, whatever it may be, is actually, that was a lie. We're not made to multitask that way. You're actually not focusing. And when you change from one task to another, just because you're doing it, your brain hasn't followed up yet. It takes even longer for you to change from this to this. If you want to do it well, you're actually lagging and wasting time. So the whole concept now is you focus on one task, do it fast, do it quickly, do it efficiently, and then move on to the next task, right? So that is almost, this reminds me of that, of the two masters. You can't focus on both. Somewhere you think you're balancing it, but somewhere it's not going to be sustainable. You're going to lose out somewhere.
Yeah, I might call that when Jesus says you cannot serve God and money. I don't want to dilute that phrase, but I think we might call it a conflict of what we value, right? A conflict of interest, maybe not a conflict of interest, but a conflict of value. what do we value? What do you value so much? Is it money? Is it earthly things? Is it getting into, you know, for the high school students, getting into a particular college, graduating from that college, having this particular job, making a certain amount of money? When I make this a certain amount of money, I'm going to have this certain type of car. I'm going to then have a certain type of lifestyle. Frank introduced a lot of concepts. Or is it being funny? Is it being the life of the party? Is it being a good this or that? Those are not wrong. And I think Frank was clarifying that the pursuit to do better, to do well, is not wrong. But it's where the, maybe where the singular focus is at ultimately.
It actually flows nicely into the next slide, where how do you know if you're laying up treasures? How do you know, right? Again, it's not wrong. I mean, we need to have, do what we can. God has given us abilities to gain resources. But how do you know if you are laying up treasures on earth?
And by the way, was there a reason why you went to Luke instead of Matthew?
Yes.
Because Matthew has the same.
Has the same thing because Luke ends it on 34, the same thing. But notice what Jesus is talking about in Luke right before it. Right? I'm not going to read it. You can read it. Right? Luke 12, 22. Right. And then you see he's talking about don't be anxious about what you eat, right? Or what you will, about your body, what you put on, right? And then he basically he's talking about things, right? And he ends it the same way.
Because so, in Matthew's version, he does that too. In 6:25.
Earlier even, right? Yeah. So there's...
Right afterwards, he says... You know, you cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on, what you will wear. Is life not more than so?
So these are intricately connected. So Jesus is trying to show us. So how do you know if you're laying up treasures? He's actually answering it. What brings you anxiety? Because that, otherwise he wouldn't have linked these two verses, right? What brings you anxiety? That's where your treasure is. Where brings you sorrow and angst? Where do you, right? What occupies your heart, which is what Pastor Alex was saying. Again, these are not wrong things. The treasure itself is neutral. But Jesus is saying, what is occupying your heart and mind that does not allow you to be to have full allegiance to being a disciple of Jesus. So a good indicator, if I may suggest, and it's also suggested in Luke and Matthew, is what is bringing you anxiety? Jesus says, do not be anxious, because I know when you're anxious, you're putting too much value into whatever it is. What occupies your mind? What are you thinking about all day, Bethany? No, I'm just kidding. You don't have to answer it.
giving you stress? What's giving you, what do you worry about at night?
I know I worry about finances all the time. It's something that as I'm studying through this, I'm working through it. And I, Pastor Alex and I have many conversations about it. You know, I have to work through it. I'm just... Like you guys are probably worrying about what college, what's my degree going to be? What's my job going to be? That's understandable. That's something that we all go through, right? But it is Jesus reminding us, he's helping us. He's not condemning us. Remember, he's helping us to free us from these anxious and these worries and the angst that we have. Right.
Well, I love in verse 32 of Matthew chapter 6, it doesn't say this in Luke 12, I don't see it, but when Frank was saying we worry about these things, whether it's finances, I mean, I'll open it up. You know, I had a conversation with Cindy, she's not there anymore, about about children, about the way we raise our children, or the way we talk to our children, what we see in our children. I mean, she was sharing something with me last night, and I was giving the same feedback. You know, I have worries about my children. I watch them, and I give a parent session. I mean, both of them, you know, we have two daughters sitting right here, and on one hand, you know, okay, Bex and I were giving a parent session. That isn't, but I said over and over on the parent session, boy, that doesn't mean that we're perfect parents. Like, there are things that worry us about our children. Some of these can occupy us, really become, even taking my focus off of who can I trust with this process, right? You know, we look at our children. I mean, Frank, your kid might be perfect, you know,
right?
But, you know, when we look at our children and we're like, gosh, are they really going to be worth, you know, we've laid the groundwork of the gospel, but where are they going to be? Whether it's finances. I know someone, even a Christian, who was trying to begin to invest in stocks, had some initial wins, put some more money in stocks, and all of a sudden, when the market turned, like, lost everything, right, that he was investing in. Like Frank said, just in like a day, right? And so when Frank's bringing up all these concerns, whether about what Cindy and I talked about, like the raising of our children, to our finances, to what we will wear. You know, I know my two daughters now care more and more about what they wear. They care so much about what they wear. And we've been talking about that. We're like, whoa, what's happened? Like, why do you guys care so much about what you wear? Like, be like CJ, he doesn't even care. Yeah, just match socks, just match, you know? And what Frank says is that, are these things, like, can they preoccupy us? Yes. Can they thwart our value system? Yes. But what's powerful about Jesus is that in verse 32, he says, your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. He says, it's not like the heavenly Father doesn't care. He says, he knows what you need. Your clothing, all these other things that you think about, the needs of your family, the needs of your future, the needs of your finances, the needs of your own maturity, whatever it is. But in verse 33, the verse right after, he says, but seek first the kingdom. So all the things that you need and you worry about, Jesus doesn't say, don't even think about those. Don't pursue those.
Right, yeah.
He says, your Father knows that what you need.
So it's not a condemnation.
Right, it's not a condemnation.
He's trying to help us.
Right.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm just, man. Yeah. Do collab. You guys can jump in too.
You guys like this? We're like collabing today. That's a new word.
I realize that I like this because I think naturally I'm not a teacher type, but I'm a conversationist, right? I like to have conversations. Even though it seems like just and I talking right now, I like to have conversation. So like you guys can jump in. I know it seems daunting sometimes maybe to just cut in, but seriously, I invite that. That's why I wanted to sit around rather than me standing. There's no use for that. You know, we can have conversations.
What do you guys think online? Any comments from the folks online? Any thoughts or comments? Like as we read through these texts, any thoughts that you guys might have? Or here in the class?
Yeah, we had interesting conversations this morning. Just about, you know, we're talking about, medical insurance for your kids and 401k, you know, the implications of having enough retirement to even pay for benefits after retirement, that's going to be a huge thing, right? And I think it's just, we understand the concept and, you know, we understand the, you know, the truth and the faith that we put in our God, but gosh, it's so hard to put it into practice and balance. You know, does that mean, and I know you already touched upon it, right? It's not like pursuing these things are bad.
Everybody stop working. Everybody stop going to school.
Right? Yeah. So what is overboard? Mm-hmm. You know, do you not plan or do you not put any thoughts into these things? right? And just lay it all to God. I don't know if that's what God says, but yeah, I think it's more of a guide, right? More of a guide. And it's not a condemnation. And knowing that the Heavenly Father knows that we need all these things, but you still have to put thoughts and effort into planning these things, but knowing that God gives the things away and God will eventually take care of it. But He's given us the capacity, the resources, and a sound mind to be able to, you know, put all these things, you know, plan for all these things.
I love the verse that Jesus says in verse 21 of Matthew 6, because He said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Right? I mean, I think we can memorize that today. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The direction of where you place what's value, what's of value, your heart goes there with you, right? And your heart represents, you know, all your thoughts, your thinking, your emotions, your whole being, your energy goes to direct to where your treasure is. And I think, Pete, you use like, yeah, how far is too much? I think that's for each person. Everyone's a little different. I know for myself, I'm kind of a man of action. I'm a man who, when I see something or where we need to go, I want to take our family there. Or if I see where Alva can go, man, I want to just tell him straight up, here are the steps you need to take to get there. When Cindy and I were having this conversation about our kids last night, and that started me on a track of thinking, and I started talking to Bex about observations that we have of our children at night. We talked later into the night, and we're talking like, man, we see some issues with our kids, right? No offense, Bethany, right? But we're like, we see some issues, and Cindy and I were talking about like, man, we don't even have the bandwidth to spend more time to shepherd our kids sometimes the way we would want to. We value those. I don't think those are wrong to value. I mean, that's to me even a better value than trying to save up money for their education, which we don't have, right? I'm thinking of their character. I'm thinking of their spiritual condition. But even that, what put me at ease, even when Frank asked the question, this brought us anxiety. It brought us sorrow and angst, right? Cindy, even when we're talking about yesterday, right? It's like, you think about your children, sometimes you're like, man, this brings me some angst. And at the end of the day, what I told Bex last night, without even applying this text, I wasn't even thinking about this, but I said to Bex, we know we're going heavenward. We want our children to go heavenward. I think we are doing the best that we can with the time that we have, and we just have to trust them into the Lord. I cannot go to each of my children and direct their every step. And I ended with that, right? So it's like, I think I'm doing my best. We do want to spend more one-on-one time with our kids. We want to bring them up in the ways of the Lord. But the things that we can't catch or their own rebellion, like Bethany's rebellion, I'm just kidding. Wherever they're at, I have to still trust them to the Lord because they have their journey before God. And so I think the word that came in, Pete, for me is trust, mm-hmm. Right? It's not like I stopped parenting my children, but at some point I have to trust that God is going to take what I've given to them and do His thing. Take the effort that I've put into my finances, and at some point, this is all I got, God. And you, my Heavenly Father, know what I need, and you're going to take it from here. You know, I think there's an element of that might be different to each person.
Yeah. I mean, that's real life stuff, right? We're talking about here. These are real things that we consider. So these questions that's up here really is questions to flag us, to give us warning signs. That's how you can identify it. Because identifying what we're laying up, what we're trying to stockpile, is very important. So when you see yourself anxious about something, at least you know, okay, I might have to really bring this before God a little bit more, because I'm really anxious about that. I feel really sad. I'm getting angry, right? This is occupying my heart too much. Nothing wrong with the thing itself. There's nothing wrong with a father trying to provide the best for his daughters and son, right? Nothing wrong with that. But again, what's occupying us? Because Jesus is directing us, says, well, I don't want this to take you away from your allegiance to what's most important. And here's the good news is, he says, lay up treasures in heaven, where moths and rust, no enemy can steal this away. And he says, that's where your heart needs to be. So, and when I was talking to, when I was working through this, again, most of the important comments come from my wife, right? Reps was telling me, and she just has to say one word. I say all these things. She says, you know, she gives me the Yoda comments, right? So I'm just the vessel. I'm just presenting. She says, God does not want to dispossess us from our possessions. He does not want to strip us away from our possessions. He actually wants to strip things away from our hearts, because he knows how much of a poison it could be. It's not about the possession. It's what's going on in the heart, right?
Again, isn't that what we've been talking about?
It's the heart.
What Jesus has been going on, at least said it like 3 weeks ago,
yeah,
when he's talking about prayer, fasting, or giving to the poor, at least that it's the motivation of the heart, isn't it? Like, Jesus is reframing kingdom-minded people. He's reframing his disciples versus where the Pharisees have taken their religion with Yahweh, to say this is a religion that begins with the heart. What I care about is the intention of your heart, not the where the heart is, the external will follow.
Yeah, it's not behavior modification.
Right.
You can change the outside, but if your heart's not in it, it's going to be a constant battle.
How do you lay up treasures?
Good question.
Your heart is right.
Right. You want to do it? You got an answer? Okay, you want to set it up? Okay. It's right here, right? So this whole laying up, right? So I have a suggestion for this. There's different commentators, but this is, I believe, what the Holy Spirit brought to mind. I never saw it this way, but there's a suggestion. I think Jesus is very clear about it. There is that truth. There's a tangible thing that we can focus on to amass and stockpile treasures in heaven. What is that thing? Only time will tell. Maybe next week, right?
What I would suggest is this week.
Think about
this
it.
This is such a powerful set of scripture. Matthew chapter 6 from 19 through 34. And just read and meditate on that every single day of this week. Take it. It is good. I mean, I was preparing for the Sunday school class. I was taking it on our Zion trip. I was meditating on this, loving this. I couldn't even stop. Little did I know that, you know, Frank took the lead in doing the set, but I couldn't stop meditating on the richness of this word, of the word that God gives in these passages. So that this week I became so familiar with it. That's why as we're talking, I'm just thinking of the different verses. This is some powerful verses about our treasure and what we seek, what we value, what brings light to our whole body. You know, what should we value? How do we lay up those treasures?
Yeah, there's a tangible way of doing it. It's not like just a theory. It's actually, we can do it now. Right.
Well, okay. That's our cliffhanger. Is that good? Come back next week.
Yeah, you want a cliffhanger?
Yeah, let's cliffhanger.
Okay. Hey, people online, is it different when the teacher's in the classroom or when we're doing this from the classroom? Or is it the same or different? The experience? It's my curiosity.
It's the same.
It's the same? Okay.
Natalie, you didn't sound like
it. Thanks, Natalie.
It may not be the same.
Natalie is such a great artist. She, during VBS, she drew a dragon. She tattooed a dragon on my arm.
Oh, that's nice. Added you up.
Yeah, that's why I'm wearing long sleeve today. Because I haven't showered for a week.
Natalie.
Thanks, Natalie.
I don't have blur back. I have a question, but I don't know if it'll be answered next week. My guess is like you have a simple creed.
Ooh.
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah. Can you have a sinful greed for treasure in heaven? Yeah.
Can you even be greedy for it? Like, oh, that's so
yeah. Treasure. Yeah. That's a good one. That is a question.
We will answer
next week. Because I knew already, but no. But I think it goes back to the heart.
Yeah.
And I think that even that, there can be things that are not of the fruit of the spirit, meaning that there could be sin. Yeah. And how do we differentiate that? I think next week we can. But I think so. Yes, you can.
I think it's just valuable because there's so much in our text that we can deep dive a little bit more, more on treasures, more on singularity in our focus or values, what grabs our heart, anxiety. I think we should talk more about anxiety because that's a real thing for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a real thing.
Anxiety. Yeah. I mean, this, yeah, sorrow, anxiety, angst, that's a big part.
I think there could even be, when you talk about sinful greed for treasures in heaven, I think when there's anxiety, there's something off. Anxiety for, like, things of heaven, right? You can have that.
Oh, my gosh, what if I live in this way?
Yeah. I want a mansion, huh? Ask Alex, would you close in prayer?
Sure. Lord, Heavenly Father, there are times when I guess for me, your word is so clear and it has so much ability when your Holy Spirit is at work in our heart to reveal your word that it can have such a big impact on us. And I thank you, Lord, for the treasure, for the treasury, Lord, that is contained within your word, that when your Spirit reveals and empowers it and quickens it to our heart, it can really shift the steps that we take in life. It can really shine light. Your word and your Spirit can shine light into the darkest recesses of our heart, the motivation, the intentions of our heart. And I thank you this morning. I thank you for the words of Jesus, Lord. I thank you that he's telling us, Lord, you are telling us today to shift what we value, to shift where we're investing in. And even the things that we are currently investing in, how we may shift the concept of that so that we may purpose To seek first the kingdom of heaven and your righteousness, your version of righteousness for us. And Lord, even as we think about all the things that preoccupy us, the things that cause us sometimes to lose sleep, Lord, the things that give us anxiety, the things that we might inappropriately be greeting after, lusting after, chasing after, putting our hopes in, Lord, help us to reframe those things through your lens. When Jesus, Lord, you told us that our Heavenly Father knows that we need them. And so, Jesus, you can tell us to seek first your kingdom and your way of righteousness, and that all the things that we need will be added unto us, so that you are not trying to dispossess us of the things, but you are trying to untangle the things that tangle up our hearts. Affection. Lord, I pray that as the eye brings light to the body, a healthy eye, Lord, give us a singular focus on you. Give us a undivided attention to you and the things of you that will allow the priority system of our life to become clear. That Jesus, you would sit on the throne of our life, and by our loving you, everything else comes into perfect priority, Lord. I thank you for our class. I thank you for our time and the word. I thank you for your spirit who works freely among anyone who is willing. We thank you for that, Lord. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.